Tony Bennett. Yeah, I wanted to get Tim's thoughts on this. Former Virginia men's basketball coach Tony Bennett, who officially announced his retirement Friday morning, pointed to the current environment, end quote, in college sports as one of the driving forces behind his abrupt departure to step down with the Cavaliers. I think this is kind of the big question, Tim, and so I'm curious to know your thoughts. He signs the extension in June, correct?
Yes.
And I know because Mark had covered UVA, there was a lot of rumblings after, and I think it was at Colorado State. What was that game that was like one of the worst college basketball games to ever watch in the play-in?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're
I think it was
about.
Colorado State, if I recall.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of rumblings after that was it. And then we get the summer kind of dies down, and we get the reports that he signed the extension. I think for me, the big question is, why sign the extension? Because it felt very much, I don't think any of his opinions changed about the landscape of college basketball, because he was saying basically the same things today that he had said previously before he'd signed the extension. I think that's the question everyone has.
So I just looked it up. Yeah, they lost 67-42 in the first round, in the first four there this past year. And since the run to the NCAA tournament, they lost in the first round three consecutive times. But I don't know this to be true, but my guess is that he's sort of trying to force the hand of UVA's administration.
Yeah.
To get, who was it?
Ron Sanchez,
the former Charlotte head coach, to make him the interim head coach. And if he had retired in the offseason, then he certainly wouldn't have. It would have opened up a massive search, and more than likely, Sanchez probably doesn't get the job. So that would be my conspiracy theory there, why he retired now. As for the extension, yeah, that is a little interesting. Why? And I don't know, maybe something happened over the summer. Maybe he just thought, I can, things change, Maybe over the past couple of months, he's like, nah, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to continue to chase guys for NIL and all of that. It's pretty clear, and he talked about it today, why he's stepping down. And I kind of appreciate that he did retire, as opposed to kind of doing the I'm going to complain but still cash my paychecks deal, which I think a lot of other coaches do, especially of the older guard. And, to be honest, the proof started to be there in the pudding a little bit, right, with Virginia. They don't have a sexy style of play, and I wonder long term what the success was going to look like for UVA moving forward there with Tony Bennett on the bench.
Yeah, so the news broke yesterday, like right when we were on the air. Yeah. And to me, there are really only like three scenarios in play. Number one, scandal. And then you could rule that out immediately because I was even talking about it in real time when it came out. You could rule out scandal because they weren't going to give him the opportunity to speak if it was scandal. You know what right. I mean? They announced the press conference. Then the second one was health. But usually when that is the case, even if they're not disclosing the type of health injury or health scare or whatnot, ailment, there's usually quickly some type of he's stepping down for health reasons. And we didn't really get that. And then as the day went on, you started to say, this isn't for health reasons. And to me, that left scenario three. And I'm with you in the sense that I think this is the only way now you can get your guy the gig. Because I do think schools have gotten very weary of just handing the program over to the successor. There's a lot more examples of it not working than working. And so this is the way that you get your guy, essentially the audition. because I think if the UVA job comes open, and I think that this is what schools should do, I don't think you should just pick the successor. Especially if you have a good job, like, you should open it up, and if you think he's the best guy, go for it. My suspicion is part of the contract extension was, hey, another thing that you and I have talked about, I think in this changing world, what we're going to realize is just being the good coach and coaching them up is not going to be enough. You have got to be able to motivate the masses, and you got to get the NIL going. And the way you do that is essentially fundraising. And so I think Bennett realized that. He's like, okay, and we've got to do for optics, you know, when we're out on the recruiting trail, hey, I've signed the extension. And this is where, if you want to criticize whether or not it's fair to the kids, I mean, it's before the season. Like, they can all transfer if they want. They haven't lost any eligibility. But I think this is the way now that you hand it off to someone to give them the best shot, because he's not going to for sure get the gig, but he could audition, and maybe he does what Rodney Terry does, which is, hey, a guy that had not had a ton of success at a lower level but ends up getting the job. Very different circumstances, obviously, for Rodney Terry, but it's the opportunity to show what you can do with the roster, and this is how you kind of give your guy the shot to get the gig long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it, hit all the points there. You know, for me, when it comes to Tony Bennett, no doubt Hall of Famer, even though, you know, getting into the Basketball Hall of Fame isn't really like the biggest challenge in the world compared to most Hall of Fames. But like, he did it.
No, I mean, we even put guys in there like multiple times. I think Jerry West's in there for like four times.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Hall of Very Good. But Tony Bennett is a, if this was a legit Hall of Fame, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, what the sustained success he had at Virginia was impeccable. And, you know, thinking about the stretch of his teams and the regular season success they had when Duke was at its peak of its powers and they were winning national championships, and, you know, John Paul Jones Arena was one of the more challenging places to play with that defense and all of that. You know, I'm happy that he got that championship, especially the year removed from losing in the first round to UMBC. But if I'm Tony Bennett, and it's hard, like, I think a lot of people listening right now, at one point in their life, or maybe right now, have a job they don't like, but they get paid a decent amount of money for, and they don't want to leave it because they get paid a lot of money. And Tony Bennett was probably making, I don't know, I mean, it's public disclosed, but I don't know, what do you think he's making? $7-8 million?
No, because now the highest guys, I think Self and Cal are the highest guys at that number. I think he was making around 4.5, 5. Hang on, I'll look it up.
Yeah. So he's making, or let's just say, $5 million. He's 55 years old. He's incredibly well respected. If he wants to go to the NBA, I think he could be an assistant in a minute. If he wants to go to television, I think he could do that in a minute. Or at 55, if you want to retire and enjoy the rest of your life, you can do that too. So, you know, I guess I don't want to say good on him, because I do think it probably would have been more fair to his players if he had left in April. But I bet you he thinks that his assistant was the best.
I mean, you just can't out there. You can't overlook Ron Sanchez leaving the head job at Charlotte. I know Charlotte's not a great job, and there have been plenty of other assistants that have left to go be, or plenty of head coaches at lower levels that have left to go be assistants elsewhere. But I just can't ignore that.
Yeah. Hey, he left a sitting head coaching job to be
$4 million, by the way. He was the 16th highest paid guy.
Okay. So yeah, I was thinking more in the realm of college football coaches who are making kind of $9-10 million. So, all right, $4 million. And yeah, I mean, I'm curious too how it kind of all plays out. Also worth noting too, and I don't know if he'll get it, another member of his staff, his name is Jason Williford. I think American University came after him hard for their head coaching job a couple years ago, and he turned it down to stay at Virginia. Maybe he knew something too was in the works, and that he could be, you know, on the rise to a higher assistant job. So, yeah, it is. It was a shocker, needless to say. But
I mean, he was at ACC kickoff or whatever tip-off.
Yeah. I mean, on a much lower level, and it was more health-related, Jeff Tedford, the head coach of Fresno State, was at Mountain West Media Days, and like a week later, he retired for football. Now, that was more health-related, but like, we didn't interview him this year. We interviewed him 2 years ago, but from all accounts, he was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to go. And then he retired a week later.
Well, I think the other thing that I loved yesterday, did you see when they started like listing all the coaches that had left or retired for the climate?
It was like somehow Roy Williams and Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, but I loved that. Somehow
Jim Boeheim's 80 years old.
But not only on top of that, Boeheim didn't retire willingly. He got forced out. Like all the other coaches, at least like you could say like they did leave willingly. But I mean, to your point about Tony Bennett,
the only one to me that fits the same billing as Tony Bennett is Jay Wright.
Yeah.
It's the only one. Jay Wright retiring was a shocker. Like Roy Williams, daggummit, he didn't like it, but he still coached in it. And you know, he kind of forced the hand too of that administration to make the hiring there with Hubie.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like I'm with you on Bennett, though. The thing that's impressive.
Memphis goes to Virginia.
Yeah, well, that was the other reason why we started talking about it. Like, you know, the KenPom numbers came out this week, and you know, Memphis only has, according to KenPom, two games that they're going to be dogs in, at least by KenPom's numbers, and it's early, whatnot. But you know, that is the.
Wow, they have him as a favorite, road favorite at Clemson?
Yeah.
Or at Virginia?
No, yeah, at Virginia, but they would, I think, one of the two losses are UConn.
Dog to Clemson and UConn.
Yeah, UConn. Now, the computer still has him at like 21-8, 14-4 in the league. But to me, like, that's another big question, man. If Memphis runs away with the league, let's say they have a respectable, like, are they going to get credit for scheduling a tough non-con? Or are they still going to have to go and win the conference tournament to get the bid?
I mean, it's too early to tell, but
there's all the basketball to be played.
Yeah, there's all of the basketball, but you've got, let's see, you're going out to Vegas. That's not easy. You're playing San Francisco. Where's the San Francisco game?
It's at the Chase Center.
Okay.
So they put it as semi-neutral, but I mean.
And then you've got the Maui Invitational. Did we figure it out? They're not coming home, right?
No one's corrected me.
There's no way. There's no way.
I'm telling you, the reason why I had the reaction I did is because I had the same reaction you did.
That would be crazy. So they play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's say if they avoid Chaminade, I haven't looked at the bracket. They're probably playing, I mean, how many Power 5 teams are they playing? They're playing, what, 8 Power 5 teams in the non-con?
Yes. I mean, they don't play someone outside.
Now, it's worth noting this. KenPom doesn't have all the Maui games, right?
Correct.
It only has one.
Correct. But so, Memphis doesn't play a sub-200 KenPom team until conference play. I mean, even their, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they play Ohio. Ohio's a good MAC team. Yeah, I'm looking at the bracket now. Chaminade's not in it this year. This is one of those years that Chaminade's not playing.
That's probably for the best.
So you're getting three good games out in Maui. There's no Chaminade. So, you know, so you're playing, let's see, Missouri 1, UConn 2. Two other teams out there, Clemson, UVA, Mississippi, Mississippi State. You're playing eight Power 4 teams. I guess Power 5, if you want to include the Big East. And then you've got a UNLV team that I believe is picked to finish third in the Mountain West on the road. Ohio, San Francisco, I think is third in the West Coast. If we're looking at the West Coast Conference this year, per KenPom, they're third. So yeah, I mean, you've got a pretty legit non-con. I think they've set themselves up that they don't have to win the conference if they take care of some business in a non-con.
Yeah, I just continue to believe if the league is going to be a multi-bid league, it's going to have to be with Memphis being the at-large, because I just don't think anyone else is going to have.
Yeah, I think that. Well, and I think if this preseason schedule, non-conference schedule, goes as to plan, as I'm sure many Memphis fans are hoping it will, you're going to be hearing that Memphis is going to be a bid stealer, because if they trip up in the AAC championship or tournament, they're probably still going to get in, right?
Based off
of their non-con?
I think that's right.
It's a loaded non-con, man.
FanDuel Sports. All right, this was the news of the day. So for everyone out there, the regional sports network that broadcasts Grizzlies games in Memphis is getting a new look. Bally Sports, which is owned by Diamond Sports Group, is rebranding all of its 16 regional sports networks to FanDuel Sports Network, according to a news release from the company distributed today. The change will not impact how fans can watch Grizzlies games. They continue to do so via their local cable package or online through their streaming subscription or through the FanDuel Sports Network app. This is from Drew Hill. Xfinity customers, keep in mind, all regional sports networks have moved up a level to the company's ultimate TV package this season, which could require you to make an upgrade to watch the Grizzlies. So to be clear for everyone, it's not changing. Well, if you've had the package to watch the Grizzlies, they're not changing anything other than the name. It's a rebranding. It's not a new channel. It's completely just a new rebrand. This had long been rumored that this was going to happen, and I still continue to believe if the Grizzlies are part of Diamond Sports after next year, I would be surprised. I'd be surprised if Diamond Sports is operational after next year.
Seems that way, and I do think the trend moving forward, you're seeing in a number of markets, I think a lot of teams, and I can't speak to the local market in Memphis, but I think a lot of teams are going to go to the local Fox, CBS, ABC.
The networks.
NBC, the networks.
Affiliates, yeah.
Here in Vegas, the Golden Knights were on a cable network, and then I believe it was Scripps came in and almost created their own channel for them. That was free with bunny ears, or I don't know what they're calling them these days. Free over the
digital antenna.
And I think Phoenix is doing it now too with the Suns.
I know the Jazz were trying to do it. So I can give you a little.
It makes a ton of sense.
I can give you a little insight for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies kicked around the idea. I think the Grizzlies are someone that would prefer to package their rights and have someone else sell it, because essentially to do it, you are launching your own TV network, and I just don't know if the market is big enough. And then, like, there's so many costs. Like, you don't even think about, like, do you buy a truck? Do you rent a truck? Are you, like, how are you just launching a network? So I think the Grizzlies are in the mindset of they'd prefer to ship their rights off, sell their rights, and have someone else do it. But this is something that is very much going to be a part of the NBA discussion.
Yeah. And, you know, NBA, NHL, and MLB, right? Those are the three that's where we're in with these regional networks. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, you know, my company, VSiN, we love these regional networks because we provide programming to a bunch of them. I mean, it's great for us. So seeing them kind of dwindle is a worry, but I get it. You know, I worked at a regional network in DC for a number of years. And, you know, the show that I was doing was on, I think, four or five regional networks at the time on NBC Sports regionals. And, you know, those are kind of starting to go away. So I don't know. I don't know what the...
I think the league's going to package it, and that's where Amazon's going to be the home of... I think eventually Amazon's going to be the home.
And MLB's doing it now, too, for a couple of these. I think San Diego, a couple other cities have... kind of have these rights deals too. But I think, you know, to your point, I think the FanDuel, like, whoa, FanDuel, like, this is Gambling? Nah, not really. They just, I think they're just like kind of the naming.
It's just
rights
a, it's a, it's a marketing. It's yeah. a marketing tool. Yeah, it's just like just taking out a advertising deal. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get into our cards. Also, games of the weekend. We'll even take a look at a pretty good NFL slate. But we'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. This month is Golftoberfest at Birdies. That means if you book online, you enjoy half off standard golf rates all month. GolfAtBirdies.com is the website. It's located at 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. On Saturday nights, it turns into karaoke night. Over on Simulator 2, you can turn it into a karaoke evening with you and your friends. Simulators 1 and 3 will still, of course, have the option to play golf, and you can play golf while watching your favorite game with the sound. Tomorrow is Breast Cancer Awareness Day. It's a special day at Birdies. The first 100 people to order either a beer or cocktail will receive a special Birdies Breast Cancer Awareness t-shirt. Also, 10% of all tickets tomorrow will go to Courage Through Cancer of Memphis, so you can go support a great cause. They'll be open at 9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday for all of the games. Makes for a great spot. Go check it out. Also, follow them on Instagram, golf, or I should say on Instagram at birdies901. GolfAtBirdies.com is the website. All right, Tim, let's get into the cards. What do you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to hate myself early. I'm going to take 3 with Florida State tonight.
Ditto.
And 9.5 with Oklahoma State tonight. So really want to hate myself. I put out a Twitter poll earlier this week because dogs on Fridays are 16-5 against the spread so far this year. Now, before you say, oh, I got to play all the dogs, you know, it's like a blackjack table.
That can always flip. Yeah.
It's like a roulette table being black 16 of 21 times. Like there's no real correlation, but it is interesting to know that dogs have been barking. And it's funny, I tweeted this out and I said, which dog will fare the best? 28% said Purdue, 27% Florida State, 24% Oklahoma State, and 19% Nevada. So very split on the poll there on social media. But I'll give you, you know, Florida State, I'll say this twofold. I think Duke is massively overrated, and they haven't beat anybody. They should have lost to UNC. Florida State stinks, but they are coming off a bye. The quarterback change. I do wonder if Norvell kind of gets a decent effort out of them here in this spot. And then BYU, I think I'm trying to catch the falling knife a little bit here. They're 6-0 against the spread. They've been fortunate in a handful of games. And Oklahoma State, kind of similar to Florida State, they've been awful this year, have massively underachieved. You could argue Florida State and Oklahoma State are two of the most disappointing teams in the entire country this year. I do wonder if the quarterback changes a little bit. So those are two dogs that I ended up playing tonight, and I'm sure will hate myself for both of those.
Did you see the Purdue line keeps going up? It's now over 30.5. I think it's at 30.5.
Yeah. Circa's at 30.5. 30 out there. I really want to take Purdue. I just don't.
I'm with you.
I don't hate myself that much.
I think I'd be more inclined to take Purdue had they not had the second half last week.
Yeah. All right. Other games I'll hate myself on. You want to fade Army? Because I'm going to do it. Give me 17 with East Carolina. That's going to be a joy. Army 6-0 against the spread as well. And East Carolina coming off a bye. I'll say this. Army's schedule so far, Lehigh, FCS, FAU, 99th in FPI, Rice, 109, Temple, 124.
Shout out the American.
125, UAB, 122. The best team they've played is FAU, 99th in the FPI. I was texting with a buddy of mine who does his own power ratings and a pretty sharp bettor, and he said they haven't faced a top 100 defense in his power ratings. East Carolina's not very good. Coming off a bye, though, I'll take the 17.
Even as an American, I want to fade both Army and Navy for all the reasons. It's just I can't get there.
Yeah, I took some 17 with Navy, too. Or excuse me, with Charlotte against Navy. As for other meaningful games, not that Army and Navy. I was asked this just a moment ago before we came on the air here. I was doing a radio hit with my buddy in Richmond, and he talked about situational spots and if they do they matter in the with service academies. And I'm like, not really. Navy does play Notre Dame next week, so is there a bit of a look ahead? I don't know. Maybe. They're coming off a bye, though. They're usually pretty focused. But I did take I took 17 with both East Carolina and Charlotte. One of the games that was one of my first bets, and this is more of a track record. I took 4.5. You can get a 5 out there. I took it with Louisville, and I think you can make the argument that I'm selling low on Miami because of the close calls they had against Virginia Tech and Cal. But I also think I'm buying very low on Louisville. Louisville, the last four games, very fortunate to get a cover against Georgia Tech. They had a blocked field goal and a pick six.
Thanks for reminding me.
I had them too. I had Georgia Tech. They lose to Notre Dame by a touchdown. Kind of a weird game. They had a short field a bunch of times. Notre Dame had a short field a bunch of times. They moved the ball. They outgained the Irish, but they lost by a touchdown, didn't cover. I thought they looked very poor late in the game and ill-prepared against SMU. They lost that game. And then last week, they beat Virginia, but didn't look great doing so. And the example I bring up is last year. I think it was a Thursday night. Louisville played NC State. It was a very ugly game. Louisville won. I don't think they covered. And that's what kept me off Louisville when they played Notre Dame last year in, I want to say, mid-October.
Yeah, when Notre Dame played all those games in a row.
Yeah, and it was a clear spot to back Louisville, and I didn't do it. Not because I'm a Notre Dame fan, just because I didn't think Louisville was that good. So I'm kind of banking on the Jeff Brohm kind of mystique here. Jeff Brohm against top 10 teams. These are some of his wins. 2018 at Purdue over Ohio State. 2021 on the road at number 2, Iowa. Also in 2021 at home against Michigan State, number 3. And then last year, I forget what Notre Dame was ranked. They were in the top 10 and they beat them. So I took 4.5. with Louisville. I got a bunch more, but I'll let you give a couple. I don't want to just blabber here my whole betting card.
So I'm with you tonight. I actually just took Florida State money line. Like, to me, that's either Florida State's going to win the game or Duke's going to cover, because I'm right there with you. I kind of wanted to fire on Oklahoma State, but there's something about them that just doesn't look right. And it's like, I think they might have institutional problems. And so I just, numbers-wise, I'm with you. I also have the same fear with BYU that I had last year against Arizona, where I would just keep firing against them and just keep getting burned. So I've just decided I'm laying off. Because numbers-wise, I'm with you. I have a rule. If Jeff Sims is playing, I have to bet against him. And as much as I've loved watching the Arizona State team, Jeff Sims, I do not love watching. Now,
it's also a brutal spot for Arizona State.
Correct.
Coming off of the upset win over Utah, traveling to Cincinnati, early start time. I bet Cincinnati early on in the week. I may or may not have had a little bird tell me that Levitt was going to be out, so that was nice. I probably would still bet Cincinnati at 5.5. But the spot is very good, and as you alluded to, Jeff Sims.
Oh, boy.
I bet on him last year when Nebraska hosted Colorado, and I wanted to gouge my eyes out. So probably he's going to throw for like 6 touchdowns, and
Arizona
State will win.
Or they're just going to run Wildcat right in my eye, and then I'm like, I should have known. Even Kenny Dillingham doesn't trust Jeff Sims. But that was where I was headed on that. I got 5 on that. Wisconsin, to me, they've got Penn State coming up next week. Northwestern's made the quarterback change, and they've been pretty competitive. I guess I could be the idiot on this one and just taking the cheese, but I got 8, and so I was like, you know what? Give me the touchdown plus another point. I'll take it with Northwestern because I think they're playing a lot better.
That was on my list. I'm a big every Wednesday on VSiN Primetime, and I do it on the podcast as well. I'm a big situational guy. I think some people have probably picked up on that. I don't think this is a very good situation at all for Wisconsin, as you pointed out. You're going to Northwestern. It's going to be a weird atmosphere in that makeshift stadium. You've got Penn State coming to you next week. So there definitely is a look-ahead factor. The thing that kept me off, and not to say that this guy is 100% accurate, no one is, but Brad Powers, who I respect as a pretty good handicapper on my show. Now, he laid 7, and 7.5 is out there now, and that's a whole different ball of wax, but he did like Wisconsin, so that ultimately kept me off of this game. But I actually would lean more your way than Brad's, but that just kept me off hearing that he liked Wisconsin as much as he did.
This is my Anakin Skywalker special. What do, Anakin, when we see a trap? We spring it.
You were the chosen one!
Correct.
You're going to chop off this team's legs and arms?
I liked Illinois when it was 1. Illinois knows what they are. And I do not... Michigan with Tuttle, yeah, they moved the ball better, but Tuttle, we have a long sample size that he enjoys throwing it to the other team, too. Why has that line moved so much? Like, is there an injury that I'm not aware of? I didn't see Altmyer get hurt. Like, that thing moved, like, 4 points.
I think there's a thought of some possible, like, regression coming for Luke Altmyer. I can't bet on Michigan here at this number. But I do think this offense is vastly better, vastly improved with Jack Tuttle at quarterback.
I agree. I still don't think they're a great offense.
No. Yeah, like, they're better, though.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And defensively, does this defense get after Illinois and make them turn the ball over? I think that's kind of the mindset, I assume, of the movement here. I looked at this game, gravitated a little bit towards the dog, but I ultimately laid off this one.
So I took the 4. To me, it's like, all right, I liked it early. Maybe I'm going to be the idiot, but to me, it's like, if I'm going to get that many points, I'll take it. I got A&M early in the week. As soon as I saw that 15.5 against Mississippi State, I took it. Mississippi State has covered 2 consecutive games. They were getting 5 touchdowns in those 2 consecutive games. Do I think the worst roster in the conference is going to cover 3 straight? No, I'm going to pay to see that. You and I talked about Arkansas. We both love the spot. LSU under Brian Kelly after a big home win, 1-5-1 the following week.
Market's a little funky in this game, so it kind of keeps going under 3 and then getting bet, easy for me to say, back up to 3. I think 3 is a spot to take the dogs here, the Razorbacks coming off a bye. I think Bobby Petrino is going to dial up some things, up his sleeve here. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Sam Pittman as a dog, 21-9 against the spread. Sam Pittman in home night game, 6-1 ATS. Off a bye, 7-1 ATS. Now, I'll say to play devil's advocate, now I'm on Arkansas. Brian Kelly historically against unranked teams is remarkably strong.
Yeah, I've noticed, though, a lot of his Notre Dame trends haven't translated to...
Well, yeah, I mean, if you go through it, like, Marcus Freeman has already played, like, a significantly stronger schedule than Brian Kelly ever did. And it was just kind of how things played out some of those years. Some of the bigger games weren't as, you had some down USC years in that time there when he was there. But, yeah, as he got it rolling, he really didn't lose the games he was supposed to win, which would be something that the current coach, I would appreciate if he would stop doing that against...
He was great as a favorite.
Northern Illinois. But, yes, great as a favorite, not so much as an underdog. But I think the spot is really advantageous for Arkansas here.
He's been really good at home at LSU. A lot of coaches at LSU have been really good at home. We both mentioned we're taking the 5 with Georgia. Spirit of full disclosure, I'm taking the money line. I'm taking both. I just – maybe this is me being an idiot, but –
I really don't. Today. You're calling yourself an idiot a lot. Right?
I don't think we're going to wake up on Sunday morning and Georgia's in a crisis. And also, the way this year's gone, I just don't know if somebody's getting out of this thing cleanly. And Ewers, I get it. Venables is very good at confusing quarterbacks, giving them tough looks early. But Quinn was really not good last week, to the point where I'm like, I think he's still kind of hurt.
And as you talked about, I mean, who are the best teams that they've played so far? Who's the best offense?
I mean, the best team they played is arguably Monroe.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. Michigan's better defensively.
Are we sure?
Yeah. I think we're I know you're taking Illinois this week, but let's not give the Warhawks too much credit down there. But yeah, I'm with you here in that spot. Can I give you a couple good spots?
Yeah, let's do that.
Are you man enough to take 27 with Ball State?
I wanted to, but I think Diego's going to play, even though I don't. Diego, I need Diego healthy in 2 weeks.
This is the spot of all spots. And I said it last week, and I was wrong. But this is the spot of all spots. Now, the problem is Ball State is garbage. But beat Alabama, beat Kentucky on the road. Diego's limping around out there. And then next week, you're playing Texas at home.
And they've played a month straight of emotional games.
And if you're Clark Lee, you just want a 21-point win. You just want to win, right?
You just want to get out of there with Diego healthy. Yeah.
For Vanderbilt, you're trying to get to a bowl game. You're 4-2. You need to beat Ball State. I'm not saying that Chirp Chirp's coming in there with the victory, even though Georgia State did beat this Vanderbilt team. Yeah, give me the points at Ball State. Just I got to, out of necessity, take this one. I think situationally, you know, I live here in Vegas. Huge game next Saturday, UNLV, or next Friday.
Yeah.
UNLV hosts Boise State. Boise State's on a bye this week. UNLV better be buttoned up when they go up to Corvallis, man. That is a weird trap spot waiting to bite you. UNLV, my buddy, my co-host, Jonathan Von Tobel, who we'll have on next week to talk some NBA, that's a really tricky spot. So if that gets to 7, I'll be on the Beavers.
All right, for today's Tell Your Story, Mike Tomlin had every intention of keeping the starting quarterback decision, quote, in-house. Then George Pickens had other ideas when he was asked why he and Russell Wilson had put in some extra work after practice. It's because this is his first start. Shout out to George Pickens. Don't tell this story. Tell your story. Which I guess maybe he's telling the story, and instead Mike Tomlin's not. All right, bud. Good luck this weekend.
49ers beat the Chiefs on Sunday.
Mahomes is an underdog. What could go wrong?
Read off a bye. Mahomes is an underdog. Get out of my face. Go Niners.
My thanks to Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.